coach. Good morning, everybody. How many are ready to go on a joy ride? All right. A couple things I want to make clear before we begin. That is not my car. All right. But Pastor Appreciation Month is the month of October, so however the Lord leads you, speak to you about that car. That'd be great. Now, the other thing I want to clear up about that video is that that is not a body double. That is actually me in that video. We didn't have to go out and hire somebody. I'm not sure why you're laughing the way you're laughing, but I just want you to know, I've never been cool a day in my life, but for about an hour, I felt like it when we were shooting that video. Hey, welcome to Joyride. And so for the next 6 weeks, we are going to be studying the book of Philippians, whose primary theme is joy. And we're going to go verse by verse through this very small book in the New Testament. It's only 4 chapters. If most Bibles, it's only 2 pages. You can read it in about 12 to 15 minutes. I've been trying to read it almost every day for the last 2 months, just different translations, different things, just learning about this story of joy, this book of joy. Matter of fact, the book of Philippians mentions the word joy, rejoicing, joyful, 16 times. All right? And I'm just going to go ahead and prophesy and say to everybody that we are about to enter into a season of joy. Anybody need more joy? Anybody want more joy in your life? Raise your hand real high. Me too. I'm raising my hand. I just want you to know I'm preaching to myself here today, okay? Because I think there is something that's going on in our culture. It's a spirit of heaviness. And the Bible says that God offers us the oil of joy instead of the spirit of heaviness. And I think for far too many of us, we've allowed that heaviness to get on us, to define us. As a matter of fact, a few weeks ago, we did a demographic study of everybody in a 15-mile radius of our church, and we found out the number one issue facing the people in our community is stress. People are just stressed out. There's so many things that are going on in the world, in our lives. And how many know God offers us something better than stress? He offers us joy. And so today, let's begin the joy ride of following Jesus and being part of what God's doing. And I just want you to know, this is not my car either, although I wish it were, all right? And the original idea was for me to drive this on the platform and to get out of it. But me being 50 now, actually, that's not the reason we can't even touch the car, but you can take a picture after the service. Give it up for Paul Kinnison for making sure that this car is part of Joyride here today. All right, let's jump right into it. If you don't mind, this is the theme verse for this series, which is going to last 6 weeks. So we're going to memorize this one right off the bat. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord." How often? Not just on Sunday morning, on Monday morning too, right? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Now, this verse, Paul says that joy is not a feeling, and I think this is so important. Matter of fact, this is the big idea for the entire series, is that joy is something we choose. How many know I can choose joy? That's the big idea we're going to be coming back to every single week. And you're going to see it all throughout the book of Philippians where Paul says, you know, I will rejoice. I choose to rejoice. I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to rejoice. And some of you say, well, Pastor, how in the world can you say, how can the Bible tell me to rejoice always? You don't know what I'm going through. I came to church with this in my life. I came to church with this baggage, with this stuff, with this, all of these negative things happening in my life. And we're about to show you from the book of Philippians that Paul's going through a bunch of stuff himself when he says this. But today I want you to get that I can choose joy. And I think the best way to illustrate this is smiling. Now, did you know you can change how you feel right now? See, Pastor, I'm not in charge of my feelings. Actually, you are. I read an article from Psychology Today, and we know that everything they publish is true. Right? It's called There's Magic in Your Smile, and it states that the muscles in your face are the only ones directly connected to your brain. So imagine this, the muscles in your face directly connected to your brain, and the research says every time you smile, you throw a feel-good party in your brain. It says that smiling releases serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins that each time you smile. It not only relaxes your body, but it can lower your heart rate and your blood pressure, and watch this, even acts as a natural pain reliever. All right? So you can choose to feel better right now. Go on. Force yourself. Choose it.
I'm choosing joy, Pastor, but I don't feel like it.
Right? I mean, and those muscles are like, they're like releasing those nice chemicals, those good drugs in your brain. You want this kind of drug problem, right? You know, where we're doing that. We can choose by laughter. And how many have heard the old phrase, laughter is good like medicine, right? That's from the Bible as well, from Proverbs 17:22. Being cheerful keeps you healthy. It'll make you feel better. But it is slow death to be gloomy all the time. Eeyore, Tigger. Right? Choose Tigger, all right? It is slow death to be gloomy all the time, so reject that. You will feel better. Joy is a choice, and so I'm going to give you the opportunity to choose joy right off the bat. Well, Pastor, how are you going to do that? Watch this.
What's up? What's up?
Now, some of you said, I'm not laughing at that video. I don't care how many times that baby says, what's that? No, you chose whether or not to have joy this very moment. You decided in your mind, didn't you? You know, some of you said, okay, that's funny. I'm just going to laugh. Joy is a choice. That great theologian, Abraham Lincoln, put it this way. Most folks are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. We get to decide if we have joy. There's some science behind this. Time Magazine produces an issue every year called The Science of Happiness. And each year, they list the happiest countries in the world, the happiest states in the United States, and the happiest occupations. Now, in a couple weeks, I'm going to tell you where Indiana ranks as far as happiest states in the country. Yeah, you should pray about that. Okay. I'm praying that this message series will change Indiana and raise it up on the rankings here in a few minutes or in a few weeks, okay? But in this article or in this issue, there's some fascinating research about happiness and joy. One Stanford University study revealed that happy people and unhappy people, they tend to have the same life experiences. It says that it's not that happy people bounce from one successful experience to another. and neither do unhappy people bounce from one failure after another. The research says that happy people and unhappy people pretty much experience the same circumstances in their lives. And the study concludes that the difference between happy people and unhappy people is that the average unhappy person spends more than twice as much time thinking about unpleasant things in their life, while happy people tend to think about things that are positive, helpful, and joyful. I'm trying to tell you that joy is a choice, right? And one more study in this issue by the University of Wisconsin, a study done by Richard Davidson, he noted that every person has a tendency to be predisposed, either to be positive or negative. And the researcher is saying that when you're born, it's kind of like your brain has a default setting, okay? Which is why some people are naturally optimistic and some people are naturally pessimistic. And I'm only going to ask the optimist, if you are naturally optimistic, raise your hand. Okay, if you're not naturally, if you are naturally pessimistic, thank God you're here, all right? Some people are like, they're called the optimistic pessimist. They are positive things are going to go bad. All right? And how many know Thanos was a pessimist? He was a half, you know, universe is half full kind of guy. That's funny. I don't care what you say. Oh, that's funny. It didn't work in the 9 o'clock service either, but I just plowed through and made it happen right there. You will have joy. All right. But watch this. In the study, Dr. Davidson discovered if you make it a habit, everybody say habit, if you make it a habit to think positive, to think joyful, to think uplifting thoughts, he says you can reset the factory default setting in your brain. Instead of naturally being pessimistic, he says you can will and you can choose to reset your brain to positive. That's pretty awesome. How many of you have preset positions on your car seat like I do? I get in my Jeep, right? Number one, that's my setting. I like it a little bit low. I like the back a little bit laying back. You know, I don't like to drive like this, but you know, whenever my boys, you know, borrow my car, I know they've been in my car because, you know, the seat's a little bit higher and they're like driving while they're sleeping. I don't understand how that works. What I do, I hit, boom, number one. Back to joy. Right? That's what we're going to do in these next 6 weeks. We're going to reset some of you back to happy. I'm going to go ahead and make this joyride guarantee that if you'll join us for these next 6 weeks, every week I'm going to give you a challenge from the book of Philippians, an action point, homework, so to speak, and you put those into practice. I'm going to guarantee you 6 weeks from now, you'll have more joy than you have right now. You'll be more happy than you are right now. I'm going to guarantee it. Money back guarantee. Pastor, I didn't give any money. Okay. You say, now why is joy so important? Did you know that God wants you to have joy? Now, I think some of us might not believe that, but God wants us to have joy. So, did you know that God is a God of joy? Sometimes when we think about God, we think, you know, we think all this seriousness that God is holy and God is transcendent and preeminent and immutable, omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. And he is all of those things. He is God. But one of the things that God is joyful. He is the one who created it. God is joy. Matter of fact, we're going to find in this series that joy is a person and his name is Jesus. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness is for a moment, but joy is eternal because his name is Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Nehemiah said it in the Old Testament that it's the joy of the Lord that is my strength. God wants you to be joyful. Let me give you a bunch of scriptures. I can't give them all to you because we don't have time, but the Bible says the one who rules in heaven laughs. Have you thought about that? Ha ha ha, that's God. God is the God of laughter. He laughs just like you guys. That's awesome. You're being like God right now. You're never more like God than when you laugh. Have you thought about that? When you smile. Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and it's going to be in yellow every time, so go ahead and say it with me if you don't mind. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy, he says, my joy makes your joy complete. I like that. I'm coming to you, Jesus said, and I told them many things while I was with them in this world so that they would be filled, not a little bit, filled with my joy. And then Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. And then the angel, when baby Jesus was being born at Christmas, fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. And Galatians 5, one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Joy. We're supposed to have joy. We're supposed to be filled with joy. Jesus said, I want my joy to be in you so that your joy can be complete. That is good news. So over the next 6 weeks, I want to show you from the book of Philippians how we can choose to have the joy that God wants us to have. And so let's start right off the bat with the number one key to joy. Now, I didn't choose the number one key. The Apostle Paul starts off the book of Philippians this way, but does anybody have an idea what the number one key to joy is? Happiness, money, Indy cars, winning that ride in a few weeks, food trucks. Come on, somebody. No, it's gratitude. Gratitude. We've just got to learn to say thank you. How about this section over here? Practice, say
thank you.
How about this section right here? Can you say
thank you?
What about here? Anybody?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
you. Up in the stadium?
Thank
you. You're welcome. We just got to get in the habit of saying thank you, right? Paul starts off the book of Philippians in verse 3. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. I want you to notice here that there's always a relationship between joy and thanks. Joy and thanksgiving. They're not kissing cousins. They're identical twins. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks and rejoicing. They go together. And so show me somebody who's grateful, and I'll show you somebody who's joyful. You can't be thankful and unhappy at the same time. It's impossible. I want to say that again. You can't be thankful, grateful, and unhappy at the same time. You can't say, God, thank you for my spouse, and then be critical of your spouse all the time. You can't say, God, thank you for my job and my boss, and complain about your idiot boss and your stupid job all day long. You can't say, God, thank you for my pastor, and then criticize his jokes and singing old songs. You're welcome. Listen, if you'll choose to be grateful, you are choosing to have joy, right? And so Paul starts out here in chapter 1, and he shows us what we should be grateful for. And he says, this is what I'm grateful for. Are you ready? Four things Paul gives us. What am I supposed to be grateful for, Pastor? Well, we start out this way. You should thank God for God. How simple is that? But how powerful is that? Paul's the one that starts out. He says, I thank my God. He didn't say, I thank the stars. I thank the universe. I thank Marvel Comics. No, he doesn't say, I thank Mother Nature. He says, I thank the God who made the stars, the God who made the universe, the God who made the heavens and the earth. Come on, somebody. Paul's thanksgiving is directed to God. I heard about a six-year-old little girl who was sitting down to dinner with her family, and the dad asked the little girl, hey, would you say the prayer for the food before we eat? So she bows her head, and she clasps her hands together to pray, and she says, God, thank you for mommy and daddy, Thank you for my brothers and my sisters. And she paused for a minute and she said, God, thank you for you. Because without you, we'd be sunk. I like that. God, without you, we'd be in serious trouble. So God, thank you for you. God, you're good. God, you're holy. God, you're awesome. God, you are wonderful. God, you are amazing. How many know that's called worship? Are you getting this? There's a reason why we begin every service with worship. This is why every time we begin to pray, we should begin with thanksgiving and worship. I'm thanking God for God. I'm honoring God for who he is. Are you getting this here today? God, I just thank you for you. And the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. So if there's anything good in my life, guess who gave it to me? God gave it to me. So I just need to get in the habit of just looking around in my life and finding anything that's good and say, God, I thank you. God, I thank you for my food. God, I thank you for my car. I thank you for my house. And God, I thank you for my pastor. God, I thank you for my job. I thank you for my boss. I thank you for my education. And I thank you for my church. And thank you for my pastor. Thank you for the weather. Thank you for the sun. Thank you for it's fall in Indiana. It's one of the best times of the year. Thank you for the trees. And thank you for my pastor. I'm just helping you have more joy. Is how it works, all right? So thank God for God. It's working. I can feel it. It's working, Pastor. Paul says, and then I want you to thank God that I'm a work in progress. Look at this. We're going verse by verse. Here it is, verse 6. Paul says, I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul is encouraging these Philippian believers here, and he's saying, listen, guys, you need to just thank God that what God started, he's going to finish. I think some of you perfectionists need to hear this. Some of you who think that the world has to be perfect all the time or your world has to be perfect all the time, that's going to suck the joy right out of you. So instead of that saying, you know what, God is working it out. Some of you might be so hard on yourself because of things that have happened in the past. And the reason that you have no joy is because the enemy keeps reminding you of your failures or the times that you messed up or the things that you did. But the Bible says a righteous man is going to fall, but he gets back up. That's the key. We can make the choice today, you know, if I fail, if I have a bad day, if I fall back, God, I thank you that you're not done with me yet. I thank you that I may not be what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be anymore. Somebody is sitting here today, and a year ago, you weren't in church, you weren't serving Jesus, you were far from God, but here you are in the house of God. You're taking steps in the right direction. Some of you joined a group for the very first time, and no, you're not perfect, but guess what? He who began a good work in you, he's going to bring it all the way to the end. I like that. There's an old song we used to sing in kids' church that goes like this. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Do you not know this song? How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Isn't that a great song? Right here out of Philippians chapter 1, God started it. Listen, he'll finish it. I thank God he's not done with me yet. Perfection's going to come when I get to heaven. Come on, I'm trying to help you here. Thank God, thank God. And so Paul goes on to say that I should thank God for the difficulties in my life. Now, we're probably not going to enjoy this one as much, but it's going to be just as powerful. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say in verse 12, he says, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. So Paul says, I actually thank God for what has happened to me. Now, what's he talking about here? What happened to Paul? Well, remember, when he wrote the book of Philippians, he wrote it while he was sitting in prison. Matter of fact, the previous 4 years of Paul's life was pretty bad. He spent 2 years in prison in Caesarea on a trumped up charge. Then he's put on a ship to go to Rome to appear before Nero. And how many know Nero is known for his hatred of Christians? And on the way, he's shipwrecked, stranded on an island. He's bitten by a poisonous snake, and then he gets snowed in. Some of you hate snow. You can identify with that. And then he continues on to Rome. He spends another 2 years in prison awaiting trial to be executed. And during this two-year period in Rome, every single day of his life, he is chained to a palace guard for 24 hours a day. Absolutely no privacy. And every 4 hours, he gets a brand new guard. Now, this is not the type of prison that we would think about in our culture today. We're talking about a Roman prison. I visited the city of Rome a few years ago, and I had the chance myself to go into this very prison from which Paul wrote the prison epistles, one of which being Philippians. And what you can't see in the picture is how it felt. It was dark, it was damp, it was cold. And it's a bit of a museum now, so there were these displays and things like that. But when you begin to recognize and feel this was Paul's reality, I don't know if I would start a letter from this prison saying, I thank my God. I think my letter would start, get me out of here. I've been framed. This is not right. This is not fair. You know, get all the people you can. Let's start a petition. No. That's not how it worked, Paul. Instead, he chooses gratitude. And he says, what's happening to me is actually working out for good. Now, what's he talking about? Just lean in for a moment and get this. This is powerful. Remember that Paul had always wanted to go to Rome to preach. And I'm sure in his mind, he was thinking it was going to be a crusade of some kind, standing on a platform, thousands of people hearing about Jesus and coming to know the Lord. But instead, God allows him to go a different route through prison. And in prison, he's chained to this palace guard, which, by the way, they are the elite Roman guards of the time, personally chosen by Caesar, and they would become his bodyguards. And after 12 years of service, these guards would become leaders in the Roman Empire. What I'm trying to tell you is that there's not a more strategic group that Paul could witness to if he was going to reach the Roman Empire. And so every single day, Paul, who he's chained to, he's sharing Jesus. He's talking to them about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So God puts Paul in Rome, Nero pays the bill, chains him to a future leader of Rome every 4 hours. And in two years, at 4 hour shifts, Paul would have witnessed to over 4,000 guards. And these guards had an inside route into the emperor, and as a result, many of Nero's family became believers. History tells us that Nero's wife, mother, and children all became followers of Jesus, which, by the way, he killed them for. See, Paul says this in Philippians 4:22, when he's giving his ending of the letter, he says, all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's house. Wow. By the way, without him being in prison, we don't get the prison epistles. They're letters that Paul wrote to the Galatians church, the Ephesians church, the Philippian church, and Philemon. You know, Paul's the traveler. He's traveling all over it, but yet he has time to write these. It's while he was in prison that he wrote these letters. You see, we can give God thanks even for the difficult circumstances in our lives. Now, I get it. Some of you, some of us came to church today and you are in the middle of difficult circumstances. It doesn't make sense. You may not be in prison like Paul was, but you look around and you're like, God, I don't understand. I don't understand why this is going on. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand. We have to, by faith, be like Paul and say, God, I thank you that even though I don't understand, you're going to work it out for my good, Romans 8:28, right? I may not understand it, I may not see it, but I thank you, God, even for the difficult situations and circumstances in my life. I heard a story about an African king who had a very close friend. His assistant always helped him, and no matter what happened, the king's friend was famous for saying, this is good, this is good. Whatever would happen, the king's friend would say, no, this is good. And so one day, they're out hunting. And so the assistant loads the king's gun, and the king is about to fire at an animal, and instead the gun misfires and blows the king's thumb off. And so the assistant says, this is good, this is good. And the king says, this is not good, this hurts. And so as a result, he throws his friend, his assistant, in prison. A year later, king's out hunting again, and except this time he gets captured by cannibals. And so the cannibals capture the king, they tie him to a stake, they are getting ready to eat him when they recognize he doesn't have a thumb. Now cannibals are superstitious and they don't eat anything that is not whole, so when they saw that he didn't have a thumb, they let him go. Sorry. Subtle stuff. I'm working hard this way. The king can't do that anymore. Never mind. So he feels bad. He realized that the only reason he's still alive is because he doesn't have a thumb. So he goes back and he lets his friend out of prison. And he says, I'm so sorry that I put you in prison for this. And he told him the story of what happened. And so the assistant said, this is good, this is good. And the king said, how in the world can you say this is good? You've been in prison for a year. He says, oh, this is good, this is good. Because if I hadn't been in prison, I would have been with you. Listen, if you're going to choose joy, you got to choose to find the silver lining in all of your circumstances. You're going to have to choose joy by faith and realize that God's working it out. Even if I don't understand it, somebody say amen. Here's the last one, and then we're going to pray. Paul says, you should also thank God for difficult people. It's getting real. Thank God for people who are not like you. Thank God for people who don't like you. Thank God for people who make your life difficult. Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Let's let Paul tell us the story. He says, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, their motives aren't good, supposing that they can stir up trouble for who? Trouble for me while I am in chains. So let me pause for a second. Paul had some critics. By the way, if you're ever going to be in leadership in any capacity, you're going to have some critics. That was free. If you're ever going to lead at work, you're going to lead in church, you're going to lead your family, if you're going to lead in any way, you're going to get criticized. It just comes as part of the territory. Just get ready. It's going to happen. So Paul had some critics. You got to remember, before Paul was saved, he murdered people, and he was a very legalistic Pharisee. And so here he is, he gets saved, right? And so on this Damascus road, he has this amazing revelation of Jesus. Jesus actually shows up, changes his heart and life. And so Paul begins to preach the amazing grace of God. Now, what that means is Paul probably would have been thought of as a theological liberal by a lot of people these days because he wanted to let everybody into the kingdom. And there were people saying, no, only Jews and only people who are circumcised can be saved. But Paul preached that salvation wasn't about circumcision of the heart, of the flesh, but a circumcision of the heart. And so people criticized his preaching, they criticized his writing, they criticized his height, they criticized the way he preached. And so Paul thanks God for his critics. And so his response is, what does it matter? Some people are just trying to show me up. Some people are preaching Jesus out of right motives. Some people are, they have bad motives. Some people are criticizing me. But the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will. I decide. I choose to continue to rejoice. Paul says, what does it matter? He basically says, so what? Can I tell you that if you want to have joy in your life, you're going to have to learn to say so what to people who criticize you, to people who don't like you, to people who have a problem with you. I am preaching now. Somebody say amen. You are never going to have joy if you're constantly worried about what people think about you, or if that social media post was a thinly veiled shot at you or your family. That's a joy sucker right there. It's going to suck all the life right out of you. I love what the Message translation, when Paul says the same thing, he says, I really don't care. I just don't care. I love that. Here's the big takeaway from today. Are you ready? I can choose joy by choosing to be grateful. I choose joy when I choose to be grateful. And when I'm grateful, something happens in my head. Something happens in my heart. Things begin to change. So, matter of fact, science backs this up, the power of gratitude. One medical doctor has made a habit of prescribing to his patients. He says, every day, write down 5 things for which you're grateful. And he says, in my experience, when depressed patients do this exercise every day, they get better faster. The University of Pennsylvania research says that when people did this exercise of Thanksgiving, they noticed a significant positive difference in their level of happiness in just 3 weeks. Okay, so this is your first challenge from Joyride. Are you ready? I want everybody to take the 21-day Thanksgiving challenge. Would you, for the next 21 days, intentionally, on purpose, choose to be grateful? Now, that can look a lot of different ways. For some of you, why don't you take a 10-minute Thanksgiving walk through your neighborhood, around your school, around where you work, whatever, and just sit, and during those 10 minutes, thank God for whatever comes to your mind, whatever is good in your life, whatever God's blessed you with. Are you getting this? Some of you, you just need to write it down. 5 things. Do exactly what the doctor said. Write down 5 things that I'm grateful for, 5 things that I'm thankful for, and just give God thanks. Okay? And I don't know why this keeps coming to my mind, but some of you, you can take one of those Sharpies or the things that write on glass, write it on your mirror in your bathroom, and just make a list. Fill that sucker up. Matter of fact, when you're looking at the mirror, all you see are the blessings of God. Is that for anybody here today? And just every day for the next 21 days, choose to be thankful. Now, why is gratitude so powerful? Well, Paul knew all about this because of what happened in Philippi. I'm going to stay in the light right here, all right? You see, when Paul writes the letter to Philippians, and he says, I thank my God every time I remember you, he was remembering what happened in Philippi. You read about it in Acts chapter 16. Philippi was actually one of the hardest places that Paul traveled to. Remember, it was difficult. He and Silas prayed for a demon-possessed girl to be delivered. And so when she's delivered, they get in trouble and they get thrown in jail. See, and the Bible says that what happened after they had been severely flogged, so they didn't just smack them around, you know, the Bible says severely flogged, almost to the point of death, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. I want you to, so when Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, he's remembering this night in Philippi when he and Silas are in jail. They're bleeding. Their faces are probably swollen. They probably have black eyes. Who knows? They might have broken bones. This was a serious beating that they took. You know, and here they are. They're in this Roman prison. It's dark. They're hurting. They could have complained. They could have cried. They could have said, God, what's going on? I don't understand. But Paul and Silas made a choice in that moment. They chose gratitude. The Bible says that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And I love your voice, for you have led me through the fire in darkest times. You were close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Something happened when they chose gratitude and they chose to focus on the goodness of God. Something powerful. And I think the same powerful thing can happen right here in just a moment for every one of us. When we decide that regardless of what's going on, I'm going to thank God. Regardless of how I feel, I'm going to praise God. Regardless of how things are going on around me, I'm going to worship God. There's power in it. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you because I know for a fact that gratitude is powerful, because the Bible says suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the prison doors flew open, and would you say this with me, and everyone's chains came loose. Come on, say it again. Everyone's chains came loose. Loose. Say it one more time. Everyone's
chains. All my life you have been
faithful. Come on, let's stand. Let's give God praise.
And all my life you have been
so, come on, choose joy right now. Choose joy.
Good.
Choose thanksgiving, God.
With every breath that I am able,
I'm going to sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Open your voice. Lift your voice to heaven.
With all my life you have been faithful.
And faithful to me, God.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life. All my life you've been faithful to me, God.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
You bow your heads and close your eyes in this room. If you're here today, you see, Pastor, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with joy. I need some joy. I need joy in my life. There's a spirit of heaviness, anxiety, worry, fear. I don't know what it is, but this message is for me, Pastor. God spoke to you because he wants to speak to me about joy. If that's you here today, I want you to do the very first thing that God says in this book, the very first thing that Paul said in this book. I want you to begin to thank God for God. Some of you are going to have to do it by faith because you don't feel it at all right now, but I'm going to tell you, when you choose joy, you're going to see what happened to Paul and Silas happen to you in the spiritual realm. Chains are going to begin to fall off of your life. Heaviness is going to begin to flee from your life. Worry and anxiety and fear, all those things that keep you down and keep sucking the joy out of your life, all of a sudden, God's going to begin to bring joy into your life. If that's you, would you lift both hands to heaven? Just begin to thank God. Come on, just begin to thank God. Lord, I love you. God, I bless you. God, I honor you. I thank you, God. Come on, by faith. Lord, I love you. Thank you, God, for God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You've been so, so good to me. Thank you for every good thing in my life. Thank you for every blessing. Thank you for every person in my life, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We love you. We love you, God. Come on, lift your voice to heaven. Thank you, Jesus.
And all my life you have been faithful.
Sing it louder than you've ever sang anything before in your life. All my life, you've been good.
And all my life, you have been so, so good.
Yes, you are, God. Yes, you have.
With every breath that I am able.
Thank you, God.
Oh, I will sing.
Lift it up.
Of the goodness.
All my life.
God.
All my life.
All my life, you've been good. And all my life, you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able,
thank you, God.
Oh, I will sing.
God's doing stuff.
Of the goodness.
God's breaking chains. Come on, come on. Let's press in. Press in. He's breaking chains. Oh, my life.
And all my life you have been faithful. You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness.
You know why? Because God's goodness is running after you. He's running after us today.
Because your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Do you receive it today? God's goodness.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Yes.
With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Because your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Come on, say it by faith. Your goodness.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Cause your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Come on, lift up your best praise right now to Jesus. We love you, Lord.
God.
Would you bow your heads for just a moment? The goodness of God, the Bible says, leads us to repentance. You see, salvation, just like the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy. You see, the gospel is, it's really good news that God loves you so much. He doesn't want you to be, he didn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to be full of death. He doesn't want you to be full of all of this junk. He says, I want you to be part of my family. That's good news. And the only thing that's required is repentance. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. And repentance, get this, it's a decision. A decision that I make. I'm not going to go the way I've been going. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to follow Jesus. Because I recognize the way I've been going is the way of death. There's nothing good in that for me. I'm going to follow Jesus. And I love what that song says. I surrender. That's what salvation is, surrender. If you're here today and you have not surrendered your entire life to Jesus Christ, today is the perfect opportunity to take that step. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, I want to be part of God's family. Maybe you're just not sure. Well, let's take that step anyway. And I want to lead you in a very simple but powerful prayer. Others around you are going to encourage you and they're going to pray this prayer with you. But if you mean business with God, I want you to pray this prayer out loud. Would you say, Dear God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for joy. Thank you for hope. I agree with you. I can't save myself because I'm a sinner. I've sinned, and you're holy. So I put my faith in the cross and resurrection of Jesus to save my soul. From this day forward, I surrender my life to you. Holy Spirit, would you help me follow Jesus every day? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.